Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There you go. Reading from the writings of Peter, the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Listen to God's word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thanks to all of those who provided the beautiful flowers before us today, either in memory or in honor of a loved one, and thanks to the deacons who arranged them for us. Easter is very much about flowers. If you look at the cover of our bulletin, you'll see that there are lilies there. Now, Easter is quite associated with lilies, except for me, I have my own favorite Easter flower. Wait just a second, I'll go get one. I love daffodils. How could you not love something with daffy in it? I mean, that daffodils. The reason I love daffodils is that if you look at that, I don't know what part of the flower that is, but whatever it is, it looks like a trumpet, you know? To me, daffodil, or speaker, a loudspeaker, to me, daffodils announce Easter. Just like it doesn't quite yet feel like Easter, even though we had a sunrise service this morning that was absolutely fabulous, until we sing that Jesus Christ is risen today. That, and I see some heads nodding, that's when it feels like Easter to me. But when I see daffodils, and I don't know that we've seen any yet outside, have we? Have you? Because on the side of the church, there's a whole bunch of them planted, but they haven't bloomed yet. And I honestly have not seen them out in the real world. I guess this is real world. Out there in the ground. But I love them because they announce, you can just hear the trumpets, and Jesus Christ is risen today. And you can just hear what we said this morning, that he's risen indeed. And I love it because Easter is about announcing that good news. But for me, it's such a personal thing. There are symbols in our lives that have particular meaning for us. One of them for me is a blue heron. That's a whole other story. I won't get into that. But when I see a blue heron, it just reminds me of God. It's like a message for God saying, yeah, remember, I'm here. And when I see daffodils, it's like a message to me, and I take it that Lou, Jesus Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Well, Easter certainly is about the announcement that Christ has been raised from the dead. We have all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have the narrative of the first Easter. Now, we get different glimpses of them. It's like, you know, starting a story here and then, you know, telling that story through everybody, and it ends up with different details by the time we get to the back, probably just through the choir, it would happen to do that. So that's the way it is with like the vignettes that the gospel writers mentioned. Hannah mentioned that in John, John particularly focuses in this part of the gospel and the announcement on Mary Magdalene, and the particular wonderful relationship that they had, and the tears of sorrow that were hers, and the fact that Mary firsthand, she appears to be the first witness of the resurrection, of the resurrected Christ. And that's really something, because in that day, women were not generally considered for witnesses. In fact, later on, when the later writers mentioned, they mentioned, the Apostle Paul mentions Peter first, not Mary, because he's trying to portray this out to the world. Okay, that's another matter also. There is in the gospel narrative, in the midst of this general announcement, that the world has changed, that the one who they saw crucified has now been raised from the dead and made alive. There are personal. There are some things that are deeply, deeply personal. When Jesus confronted Mary, she did not recognize him, but when he spoke her name, she knew it. There is something deeply personal in this Mark's telling of the narrative. And it's easily missed. It's verse 7. We have Mary Magdalene is there, and Mary, mother of James, Salome. The different gospels mention different people who were part of the party who went there that first Easter morning to complete the burial process. They weren't able to do all the spices and the wrapping because the Sabbath was approaching after Jesus was crucified, and they had to wait until the Sabbath was over. And so they go and. They see, at least in Mark, what they see is they see the empty tomb. Well, Easter is far more than about just the empty tomb. It's about the risen Christ. But in Mark, what we get is we get the empty tomb. We get that there's an angel in there. Other gospels mention that, to say a young man dressed in white. And he gives them a message. Don't miss this message. Do not be alarmed. Of course, you'd be alarmed. Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. Here it is. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Now, is the angel saying that Peter wasn't one of the disciples? No. But whatever instructions the angel was given, probably by Jesus himself, was that when they come, tell them what to do, but make sure you give them this instruction to go and tell the other disciples, and make sure Peter knows. Why? Well, if there was ever a show called Apostolic Bloopers, you could fill it with Peter. All through Jesus' ministry, he tries to do the right thing, but he always seems to get in the way. You know, Jesus is walking out on the water, coming to the disciples, and Peter sees him and says, "Oh, me too, Lord, me too, let me do that." So Peter gets out there, and Jesus says, "Come on," he walks on the water. Then he gets afraid, and Jesus has to bail him out, pull him out of the water, pull him back in the boat. Peter can say the right things. When Jesus says, you know, "Who do people say that I am?" And they have all these things, and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" to the disciple. It's Peter who says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But then shortly thereafter, when Jesus says something else, Peter opens his mouth and gets in the way of what Jesus has to do, and Jesus gives him strong words of rebuke in front of the others. "Get behind me, Satan," he says. And then it's Peter. As if Jesus didn't have enough going on with the Last Supper and the night he's betrayed, there is Peter at the Last Supper. Jesus is trying to teach them something about humility. He puts towels on and he goes around and wants to wash all their feet. Well, he gets to Peter, and guess what? Peter says, no, not me. You're not going to wash my feet. So Jesus has to say to Peter, "Unless you let me wash your feet, you can have nothing to do with me." Well, Peter says, "Well, then give me a bath." You know, that's that. And then later that night, after Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the group of people come to arrest Jesus, there's Peter who pulls out a sword and cuts off the ear of one of the people who come to get him. And Jesus has to go put the sword away. He has to go, and he heals the ear, and it's Peter. But then there is Peter who claimed that if everybody else abandoned Jesus, he wouldn't. And Jesus tells Peter, "Before you hear the rooster crow at dawn, you're going to deny me three times." Every gospel tells that account. Peter follows Jesus into the courtyard of the home of the high priest, where it's one of the places Jesus is taken after his arrest. Somebody seems to recognize him as being with Jesus. He says, no. There's a fire being built there. People are warming themselves around. Somebody else, you know, "Aren't you with that Galilean?" No. Third time. One of the Gospels even says that Peter swears. And then it's Luke who tells us that when the rooster crowed, Peter and Jesus made eye contact. It's Luke's Gospel that tells us that. Jesus looks at Peter. And three of the Gospels tell us that Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. That's why Jesus wants to make sure that the disciples get the message. But he especially wants to make sure that Peter gets the message that all is not lost. Peter is still loved. He is not rejected. Go tell everybody, but make sure you tell Peter. Who do you know who needs to hear the Easter message? Someone who perhaps is grieving the loss of a loved one needs to know that death is not the bottom line, that because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, one of the things we're celebrating is that through Christ, death is not the bottom line for us. Every funeral we have in this place, we mention that reality. Every funeral is like an Easter celebration, because in the midst of the reality of death, we are proclaiming the truth of our faith in our hope and life beyond death through Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Who do you know who needs to hear that message? Or perhaps it's somebody like Peter who has been crushed because of either their failures in life or just their general circumstances of life, no matter what their age is. Perhaps they're facing serious illness in their life or in the life of a loved one. Perhaps it's even themselves that are facing death. And maybe it's you and me who need to hear that Jesus is alive and that we are forgiven because his resurrection validates and authenticates everything he accomplished in his life and in his death. We are forgiven. Peter was forgiven before he knew it. Jesus wanted to make sure that the disciples heard the word. But he especially wanted to make sure that you hear it and that I hear it. Because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Alleluia. Amen.